Blog Talk Radio.
Well, your dad's gum government, you sorry so-and-sos. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, your dad's gum, dad's gum, dad's gum government. Uh-huh. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love him sometimes? Uh-huh. Well, your dad's gum government, you better pay attention. You're setting up there like a fool's convention. Will you get dumb, get dumb, get dumb government? Uh-huh. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Uh-huh.
Oh, welcome to Handling the Truth. I was muted and unmuted and remuted myself without knowing it. Welcome to Handling the Truth with Rebel Madman and Tenacity. This is Terry Dodd, and I'm here with my co-host, Mike Gaddy. Mike, are you here, or are you going to be a few minutes taking care of business?
I'm here, my friend.
Awesome. Well, Mike, I've been kind of blowing off a little steam. I'm going to have to take a deep breath tonight so that I can talk in a way that I won't sound too angry, because I got to tell you, my blood's been boiling this week, and today was reaching a peak of that. So with what's going on out there in the world, I think we chose the right night to talk about current events. And let's start this out right with a prayer. I'll open this up. Father, I pray you get a hold of me. I know that in the past when I've had issues with forgiving something or not being able to lose an intense anger about something, that I've been able to give it to you, and that you have taken it and put it on the goat's head and sent it out into the wilderness. And I just, I appreciate the fact, Father, that you understand our human condition, and that you don't give us things we can't handle. And when we get to that precipice, you'll step in and do it if we'll just ask you to. And I'm asking you right now, Father, to keep me under control tonight. Father, we've got insanity going on in the world around us, and we pray for peace. We pray that the truth will be made known. We pray that those that are lying and deceiving, that you would make them choke on their lies. Father, we pray for your spirit to be with Mike and me tonight. We pray that you keep us healthy and that you... you just direct us on where we need to spend our energy, Father. Help us to bring the truth forward here at Handling the Truth. Without you, anything we do, we know it will be fruitless. So we ask you to multiply our efforts. Be with our listeners. Open your hearts and minds. And in the name of your Son, our Savior, Yahshua. Amen. Well, Mike, how's your week been?
Well, so far it's been fairly productive, Terry. I still look at the things around me, and I'm I can't believe that the American persona has dropped to the level of intelligence of a bar stool, but it seems to be predominant.
Well, I know it's been suggested that at least one person I know suggested that the mask at least have made it so we don't need an IQ test. My concern is that to turn that around, because what it really does is it provides a very evident manifestation of those who are awake and don't believe the lies. Because if you're not wearing a mask out there today, it's easy to know that you're not buying into this garbage that they're handing us, this mind control, this manipulation, this normalization of a heightened control and reduction in personal liberty. It's going to make it real easy for the 5G cameras to know who they need to target. And so that is a concern. And I just believe, Mike, that that we no longer have an option to sit back and to watch somebody else bring about a favorable outcome, because I don't believe that any favorable outcome is going to come until a sufficient number of people just absolutely put their foot down and say, I'm not putting up with this crap anymore. You've been lying to us all along. You're lying to us now. And we want it. We're going to make it stop one way or another. And I've always been a promoter of peace. And when Red and I over the years have discussed the possibility of how this might result in violence, which we've certainly witnessed lately from the left, obviously, from some of these Antifa protesters and burning buildings and killing cops and all of this sort of stuff. We've witnessed it, and we've said all along that if it comes down to a violent confrontation, that we have failed. It's my humble opinion that we're getting close to the point of where the tree of liberty is going to be watered one way or the other. And if we don't put a stop to it peacefully, I believe we won't have a choice but to fight the battle physically. How do you feel about that, Mike?
Well, you know, Terry, unfortunately, I look at this, and today I was thinking about several of the events and looking around at the things. I don't watch the news because I believe that is total indoctrination. And if you're not paying attention, I believe that it even permeates your brain cells, just the noise and what they're saying. So I try to avoid that as much as possible as well. But I remember a staff meeting early to mid-80s, Terry, in the bowels of the beast. And I remember one of the higher-ranking officials at the time making the statement that, hell, we can tell these people what we're going to do and they still don't catch on. And, you know, and at the time I laughed, but now that I look back on that almost 30 years ago or 25 years ago now, I'm looking at that and I'm going, you know, it's exactly right. They can tell you what they're going to do, and the majority of people in this country fall for it anyway. It's beyond incredulous in so many ways. And I stopped and also thought about the documented, certified statement made by William Casey in 1981 as director of the CIA when he said, and I quote, "We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." And they're there. They told us they were going to do it. Casey said that. This is what we're going to do. And the CIA, through Operation Mockingbird, has taken over the media in this country. And a CIA agent testifying before a House committee on Mockingbird told them, they asked him, hey, are you able to get these reporters and all of these people at these media institutions? And, in such an arrogant answer, he said, we paid more for good prostitutes. So it just shows that they are telling us what they have done. They have shown us what they have done, and the people still fall for it. Terry, it's almost like it's preordained. I'm you know, I don't believe that you can take the American public and educate enough of them to actually wake this country up. I think it's beyond hope, and I hate to say that. That troubles me to say that, but I don't, as much as I abhor violence, I don't know how, because I think the violence is going to be induced, and I think that is their end game. I know that when it comes to these groups that have decided, and I've talked with several leaders of these groups who are trying to protect our Confederate monuments throughout the country, that they have been threatened by the local police wherever they are more than Antifa or BLM, who seem to have carte blanche. And if BLM and Antifa have carte blanche in Chicago and Los Angeles and in Podunk, USA, if they have carte blanche, that is not a local deal. That comes from central planning. So someone at the central level have told the cops, and people think, oh, that's preposterous. Go back and look at Miami in the 60s and the Cuban movement and how many times cops stopped Cubans in Miami with fully automatic weapons and explosives and were told to stand down and leave them alone. So if you think it can't happen, it has happened. And our ignorance of history is destroying us, Terry.
Well, here's what's getting to me at this point, Mike. I stop and think about how many men and women have fought and died for the little bit of freedom that we have had. And the old boiling pot, the frog in the boiling pot thing, where you turn up the heat slowly and the frog, you know, just gets kind of accustomed to it and doesn't jump out of it, you know. Well, they've turned the heat up to high, and the pot is flashing over, and they're tearing down everything that our ancestors have fought and died for. I mean, if people are gullible enough to believe that a mask is going to somehow protect them from a virus, if they believe the likes of the liars like Fauci and Bill Gates, if they're willing to basically deny service to people in a business because they walk in without a mask on, our freedom is shot. It's gone. And the people have been so brain soiled at this point that it seems like, you know, they're just a bunch of zombies walking around out there or driving around out there. And everything that our ancestors have died for and fought for is being destroyed. And how can we just stand by and watch this happen?
Well, Terry, I think it's what I call the public fool system indoctrination. We have allowed Marxists to teach in our schools, and Marxist textbooks have been taught to our children for 50, 60 years now, and nobody seems to care. We just keep voting for more and more taxes for schools because it's for the kids. And all we're doing is voting more and more money for the Marxist, cultural Marxists to completely take over the system. And I believe that has been accomplished. I do not believe that anyone teaching the truth in a major university or even in a high school or at any level is going to be allowed to continue to teach the truth. They won. They won that battle. That battle's over. We're not going to get our schools back. And people think, well, oh, okay, well, you know, all we need is an election. You know, if we just elect Joe Blow down the road there, he's going to fix everything because the Republican Party loves him or the Democrat Party loves him. He's just the kind of guy. You've lost it. It's lost anyway. Because here's one thing for everyone to think about. Everything that we are suffering under right now was voted into office. Someone we voted into office caused this. Or they appointed someone who caused this. So don't tell me elections work. If they have gone the opposite way. They're not helping what we're dealing with.
Well, what happens this year if those that are awake refuse to vote? What happens? What's the result of this year's election cycle if those that are awake choose to not vote?
If the same thing that would happen if they do vote. Because people who think that said it doesn't matter, who votes or how they do it, it's who counts the votes. Who counts the votes in this country? Do we really think that, we've had elections, gerrymandered, the 1960 election, Nixon won, Kennedy didn't win, but anyway, it went the other way in the year 2000. The Supreme Court decides an election. The Supreme Court told a state to stop counting votes. Terry, it's the handwriting's on the wall. The people have no say-so in this, and to let them believe that they do is a narcotic to the mind. Just me.
Well, you're suggesting that it would make no difference whether Trump or Biden or Michelle Obama or whoever ends up actually running it if Biden were to get elected, because it won't be him.
They do not control it. They are puppets. They are puppets under the control of, whatever you want to call it, the deep state, the shadow government, whatever it is, are not in charge. Because everything is put in place. If you get someone who makes a decision and say, okay, I'm going to do this, all they got to do is get a federal judge somewhere to say, no, you're not. It's a game. The game has played out, and we lost. And to believe that we can fix it by the easiest method possible, by taking a few minutes out of our day to go vote, to think that's the way we're going to get our country back is a huge miscalculation on the part of people.
If what you're saying is true, then they didn't believe that Hillary would win. They just said they didn't think she would lose. But what you're saying is that she was supposed to lose all along.
Well, Terry, 4 years ago, I can go back and show you articles that I wrote where I predicted exactly that. Because if you want to get somebody elected in this country, if you want, I don't care what office it is, if you want to get somebody elected, make sure their opponent is Hillary Clinton.
Or Joe Biden.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any difference because, it's a game. It's a shell game, and it's a game that we can watch, but we can't play. And it's put on for our benefit to make people believe that they actually have a say so in their government. And the thing that gets to me today, Terry, and I don't like politics. I don't like to get into partisan politics. I don't like to do that because I'm a firm believer that Professor Clyde Wilson, was exactly correct when he said the Democrats are the evil party and the Republicans are the stupid party. But the thing of it is, I don't want to get into that, but when you look at this and you know that this country can't succeed, when people support a candidate for office, that candidate gets in and does exactly the opposite of what they said they would do, and then supports unconstitutional after unconstitutional move, and the people still support them. The only way this thing has got a chance is when people elect someone to office and they claim they're going to do something and they don't do it. All the support in the world stops. The political party stops supporting them. And the political party says, no, you promised this. And they bring up the actual charges against them and say, no, you lied. No political party is going to do that. Because, Trump did say, let's take the guns first, due process second. It's documented. but the Second Amendment people still supporting. And I'm reminded of the gentleman who was in Congress in the 80s, and I won't mention his name, but he told us in a group. He said, "Look what I did." He said, "I sent in a memo to the president." At that time, it was Ronald Reagan. Said, "I sent in a memo to the president and said, look, we have got to do something. We have got to start standing for our core principles. We've got to start standing for this, for that. If we don't, we're going to lose our core support." And he said, 2 days later, I got a memo back from Karl Rove, who said, "Don't worry about it, Congressman. Where are they going to go?" And that's the question I've got today. If the Republicans support someone because they claim they're going to do something and they don't do it, where are the Republicans going to go next time? They've got nowhere to go. You still support the party. Ticks and elections are, as I've used the phrase, it's the great pacifier that they give the people to suck on while they steal all their money and steal all their freedom. I think it was H.L. Mencken. H.L. Mencken who said that you are – no, I'm sorry. It was Lysander Spooner who said you are no less a slave because you get to pick a new master every couple of years. And it was Spooner who said I'm trying to think of his quote or H.L. Mencken's quote. Yeah, he said, "Any election is just an advance auction of stolen goods." I want someone to prove to me that both of those men were wrong. And one of those quotes is over 100 years ago. Somebody prove to me it's wrong. Then, the late Butler Schaefer said, no matter who you vote for, the government gets elected. Problem that we have is the government. It's not politics. It's not political parties. But it doesn't make any difference who you vote for. The government does the same thing. And I think it was, I was trying to think of the author, Lawrence Vance, who wrote a great column, and I quoted some from it in an article in 2016, 4 years ago, when he said the best political candidate, the best party candidate for the Republican Party, who stands for all the party for all the party principles, is Hillary Clinton. And it was amazing when you went down the list of everything Hillary stood for was everything the Republican Party stood for. And I know people are shaking their heads and laughing. But if you want, I can bring that up and show where that she was basically. And look at the good Judge Napolitano back in 2012. Or was it 2012, 2016? I forgot which one it was. Maybe it was, 2012, when Judge Napolitano lost his job at Fox News for saying the only difference between Mitt Romney and Obama was skin color. Philosophically and politically, they stood for the same thing. And the Republicans rallied around Mitt Romney in 2012, and Mitt Romney was the only governor to ever vote in an assault weapons ban. And it didn't make any difference. Republicans supported him anyway. They didn't care about his philosophy. They cared about his party. And that's what's destroyed us, because people say, well, we've got to stand up for the party, And that has destroyed us, because they know that's going to happen, just like the memo from Karl Rove. Is okay. Well, if your conservative friends get upset at us because we're not anti-abortion and we're not pro-gun, where are they going to go? Jumping off my soapbox here, Terry. Go ahead.
Well, we're kind of getting away from where I was thinking about going, but I think it's worth talking about. Nigel Farage started a party, and what was it, 6 weeks later, they actually won an election because of the Brexit stuff. Why is it that it could work in England, but it doesn't work in the United States?
Well, it worked one time in Minnesota with the United States, and that's when Jesse Ventura won and beat a Democrat and a Republican, and they made damn sure that didn't happen again.
How is it that it happened in England?
Well, I'm not as familiar with their politics, but Terry, there has been a, and I've got the clip of it. There was actually, with these electronic voting machines, there was a software engineer who testified before Congress, and it's on YouTube. He testified before Congress that, yes, we can fix an election any way you want it with a 51-49 vote, you name it. And one of the members of Congress said, well, has that ever been done? And he said, oh, yes. Where the American people should have been in the street the next day, Terry, if they cared about a vote. They don't care about votes. And I can remember back in the Ron Paul, when Ron Paul was running in 12 or 8, I forgot which one it was, but he was in a primary somewhere, and there were three precincts said he got zero votes, and a bunch of people in those areas came out and said, hey, this is wrong, because we live in those precincts, and we voted for him. And they said he got zero votes. Where was the investigation, Terry? And in 2014, I believe it was, in good old Colorado, they had one county had a sheriff's election, and ironically, more people voted in that 2014 election for sheriff than had voted in the presidential election, first time in Colorado history. So the people knew something was wrong. There were 4,000 more people than voted in the previous presidential election. So people took it to the Secretary of State of Colorado. He said he would look into it. That was 6 years ago. And look at what happened to Red. God rest his soul, Red Beckman won an election in Montana. Terry, what happened to that?
Well, they cheated him out of it. That's what happened to that.
Well, then obviously your vote doesn't count, does it? That's why Red
always said your vote and your jury box counts for more than the ballot box.
In 2000, when the Supreme Court can tell the people in a state to stop counting votes, the people should have been in the streets and mass protest the next day. But no, the Republican Party was not about to protest because George W. got in office, and the Democrats wasn't about to protest because they knew that was the way it was planned from the beginning. Why didn't someone file what, the Supreme Court took over an election? How is that constitutional? If they went by the Constitution, it would have gone to the House of Representatives, Terry, like it did in the year 1800. That's the way it was supposed to do. What was the Supreme Court making a decision on an election, and the Supreme Court elected a president in the year 2000? Where's that in the Constitution? And did the people care enough to protest? If the Republicans had had any integrity whatsoever in the year 2000, they would have protested even though they put George W. Bush in office.
I don't think most people even knew that it was unconstitutional.
Well, ignorance is no excuse. Hosea 4:6.
Well, what we're looking at right now is a paid insurrection.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it, because all of these people are not taken to the street, Terry, and moving from town to town to town to town without some kind of remuneration.
And I got to tell you, I don't separate out this pandemic, the supposed health crisis, from the protest. I believe it's all connected. It's all a part of the distraction. And I think one of the things that is so important that I still have not heard anybody in the mainstream media say anything about was the silent bailout of all of the banks that happened in March. And they were able to be silent about it because there was no executive order, there was no legislation. there was no overt action to give the banks money or quantitative easing, and there was none of that. It was just a very subtle and quietly done removal of the bank's reserve requirements, which means a bankrupt bank could continue to do business and even lend money that they did not have. It basically removed anything that would force a bank out of business, short of open criminality. But the point is that if the bank should have closed, or if the bank was in such poor condition that it should have been stopped from lending, they removed those reserve requirements, and it's open season for them to create money out of thin air, even if they don't have any deposits. I mean, I'm hoping the people listening to this let that sink in and recognize that that's what the sort of thing has been going on in the background while we've been distracted with you better wear a mask or you're going to get this evil virus, and watch businesses get burned and looted.
Well, you know, and here's the point, Terry, is how does anyone justify that with the Constitution? As weak and perverted as the Constitution is, it does not allow that. Why is it allowed to happen? Because it's part of the master deep state, shadow government, whatever you want to call them. It's part of their master plan, which also should tell everybody that Congress is there as a show, especially the House of Representatives, because from the day they're elected until the next election, which is 2 years away, all it is 1 2-year election cycle after another. The majority of the members of Congress do nothing. They're campaigning all the time. It's a constant campaign trip for the House. And what does the Senate do? When has anyone in the Senate stood up for a constitution? They don't know what it is, Terry. Even as weak and as neutered as the Constitution is, the people inside, I really do not believe of the, what are there, 535 members of Congress in a, you know, I would love to write out a 20-question test on the Constitution and see exactly how many of them could pass it. Because they don't have to know it, because the wonderful voters vote for them because they belong to a political party. And again, the vote doesn't count, but that proves my point, is that they don't vote for them because of their knowledge of the Constitution. That's like going to the doctor. You're needing critical surgery, brain surgery, and you go in and you get to look at the doctors who are available to do this surgery, and you pick them by political party affiliation. How ridiculous is that? Would you trust your life to someone because they were a Republican instead of a Democrat? We trust our country to them, and we don't care if they know the Constitution or not. We do the same thing with cops. We do the same thing with the military. They take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. They don't have a clue what's in it. It's preposterous. Country has exactly what they deserve.
Well, did you hear what Mike Kaufman did today?
Nope. Enlighten me.
You know that he won the mayoral election in Aurora, right?
Yeah, I read about that.
Well, Tri-County Health has been certainly complicit in this phony plandemic process. And Kaufman has stated today that if Tri-County Health were to recommend that everyone in Aurora should wear masks, that Kaufman would support such a resolution.
Of course he would. Where's the law? How is that constitutional? Show me in the Colorado Constitution where a mayor or anyone, any other elected official can decide what a person can and cannot wear. Now, years ago, we set ourselves up for this because we made it the government. We decided the government can tell you what you can and what you cannot put in your body. Because we said, okay, well, you're too damn dumb to know that this cannabis stuff is bad for you, so you can't have it. So the government will make it against the law and put people in jail. They do this because we have decided as a government entity that you as an individual can't have this. Now, I'm not an advocate for drugs, not in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But the thing of it is, you are not free if you can't say no to government. That has been something I can't understand about people. I've been preaching it for 30 years. If you can't tell the government no, you're not free. And now we're seeing it constantly. If the government says you've got to wear a mask, you've got to wear a mask. And not only that, but they've got the idiots who are wearing masks mad at the people who have guts enough to not wear it. They don't need enforcers. They've already got them. They don't need cops to tell you to go put on your mask because your neighbor will. And that, you know, Terry, are you familiar with that? We're jumping ship here, but are you familiar with that thing that happened to that couple in St. Louis trying to defend their home?
Tell me about it.
All I know is skimpy parts of it from what I've read, so I'm not pretending to know exactly what happened. But anyway, the alleged story is that people broke in through a gated community and were actually threatening these people near their homes. They came out with firearms and told the people to get the hell off their property and to quit damaging whatever they were damaging. And now the government has charged those people with defending their home. Now, somebody tell me if that is accurate, and I'm not claiming that it is. I'm talking about what I read. But if that is the fact of the story, we are all toast.
That's
because
in
if
Missouri?
You can't defend your home. Yes, St. Louis.
Wow.
Now, I heard it was a gated community. I'm not sure.
I'll look it up. I'll try to verify it. You sent a video about the Italian doctors and them doing autopsies against the recommendations of the World Health Organization. Do you feel good about the source of that?
Terry, I'm not going to say I'm 100% behind any source, but as far as I've been able to check that out, I have a tendency to believe it. One of the things that would confirm it for me is if someone in the government said it was a lie, then I would know it was the truth.
Well, shall we talk about that a little bit? I mean, because it conforms with everything that I believed as a possibility up until now. You notice that when they were giving people the hydroxychloroquine, when they were accompanying it with the azithromycin, which to me meant, well, there was some kind of bacterial or anaerobic condition going on there, or else the azithromycin wouldn't really have an effect on a virus. So I'm thinking this has got to be something other than a virus. And also the virus doesn't transfer from one animal to another, much less human to human, the way they claim this one did. But a bacterial infection can transfer like that. And it was known, you know, like those ER docs in New York identified that there was a problem with the blood. They thought it was the iron being stripped out of it. And that it was the iron that carries the oxygen from the lungs is what picks up the oxygen in the lungs and carries it in the blood to throughout the body. So they had identified, the stripping out of the iron from the hemoglobin as a problem, and that it was not pneumonia that was killing people, and that the respirators, ventilators were not helping. And they identified that. Well, that's right in line with what these Italian doctors that supposedly did these autopsies in Italy identified. Only they found that it wasn't just from the iron being stripped out. They found that it was coagulating. It was causing blood clots, basically thrombosis, throughout the entire body. And they also said that they felt that it was being inflammation was exacerbating it, making it worse because of the 5G. And this is from doctors that did autopsies. See, the World Health Organization has been telling people, well, you don't want to do autopsies on these people because they're all contaminated. You need to get them you need to burn them up or bury them, whatever you're going to do quickly. And you don't want to mess with them because you're going to spread this thing even worse. Well, these doctors over there, because they were already in such a bad situation there, that they decided to do these autopsies and found that all the veins and everything in these people were all plugged up from clots, and that it was not a virus. They did not find a virus when they did the autopsies on them. And these were people who were declared dead due to COVID. So, you know, this in my mind, this makes perfectly good logical, scientific sense to me.
Well, that's why I sent it to you, Terry, because I feel exactly the same way. I've had a problem here with WHO and Fauci, and has anybody ever noticed how closely Fauci resembles Heimlich Himmler? But anyway, that's beside the point. But
you broke up. Who did you say that resembles?
Heinrich Himmler.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway, are we going to believe these people? It wasn't it 32 to 72 that these wonderful health people allowed a large number of black men to die from syphilis in Tuskegee, Alabama? This is the same people that allowed those people to die. Are we going to trust them with what?
Well, and Fauci was the one that that didn't disclose the information on the age, and allowed literally hundreds of thousands of people to die because of his negligence, according to Judy Michael.
So that's the guy we trust. Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. These people who have done these monstrous things, I'm going to put on a mask because that stupid pardon my language, I'm not going to say it. That stupid man said that we need to put on a mask after these other things have happened. I know we've said we're going to talk about it next week, but I'll tell you what, in the 1980s, when I saw all of the lies that the American government was telling about their missing military personnel in this country, I mean, just one lie after another and covering it up, I would not trust them to tell me what time it was. If somebody in the government told me it's daylight, I'll have to go outside and verify that. The government lies. That's its primary function. That's what it has turned out to be, is nothing but a professional liar. if the government was to appear as a person in a trial, they would be impeached by a mediocre lawyer in about 30 seconds for all of the lies they've told throughout history. So if they've told all of these lies throughout history, why should we believe them about a mask? Why should we believe them about anything? They are pathological liars. That's the essence of government.
Well, here's what I know. Here's what I know about these tests. The guy that invented the test identified genetic material, RNA, ribonucleic acid, that was present in the people who were going through the symptoms and dying in Wuhan. And as a result of that, they've been testing people for this genetic material, this RNA. And say, if they've got that RNA, they say, oh, you've got the virus. You've got COVID. But the fact of the matter is it does not isolate a virus. The guy that invented the test specifically stated that it's not suitable for testing an infectious disease. Now, even the doctors are saying that the test is 50 to 80% false positive. What does that say about these numbers they've been throwing around? Well, of course, if they're testing people, they're going to get a lot of people identified as COVID, yet not a single one of them have identified or isolated a virus at all. All they're doing is saying that they've got this particular genetic material. So, I mean, the whole thing smells to high heaven.
Terry, I lived in southern Arizona, Tucson area, for better right at 9 to 10 years. And I can remember the good old wonderful summertime when I can remember riding my horses on a moonlit night at 10 o'clock at night when it was still over 100 degrees. Now, I want to ask the people the record number of cases that are showing up in Arizona. Will someone please tell me the last time that a virus was infectious in 100-plus degree heat?
Well, they're saying that you can take a hair dryer and breathe in the warm air from a hair dryer and kill it.
Well, that was just what we've been taught about.
It's my understanding. You know the old saying: if it dries, it dies. A virus is a chemical. Okay. If it evaporates, it's gone.
Well, and here we're having a heat wave in California. My good friend Neil's out there, and he's talking about the heat wave that they're having in California. We're having a heat wave across Texas, Arizona, and it's really hot in Florida, and that's where they have the most cases of this. Come on, people, how dumb are you?
The whole thing is a lie, Mike. I mean, that's the problem here, yet people are being normalized into this control lie, and they just don't seem to understand. They function from fear and not from common sense.
Well, a statist in America worships government, Terry, like Christians worship God. And government has become the god of so many people in this country. Government is there from the cradle to the grave. They're going to be taken care of by government. And so you cannot, if your God tells you something, you cannot go against your God, because it has become the Borg and resistance is futile. And people, it's incredible what is happening. I have talked with some people in the past week, Terry, that at one time I thought were intelligent. I actually thought they really were intelligent, but some of the things coming out of their mouth after, you know, this nonstop 4 months of lies, one lie after another, being repeated over and over again. Who was it? Goebbels said, if you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it often enough and loud enough. That's exactly what we're suffering through here. Goebbels is probably cheering, you know, if he can dance between the flames and hell. He's probably just really laughing his butt off about this one.
Well, we can't let it continue.
Terry, our only chance, and I said this 30 years ago, our only chance was to get people educated, and then I found out people don't want to be educated. Because the majority of people in America today, if you tell them the truth, they get mad at you. If you tell a Republican the truth, they call you a Democrat. If you call a liberal if you tell a liberal the truth, they call you a racist or a homophobe. So there's always the words to throw at you. So I don't have to know anything. I don't have to know the correct history. I don't have to know anything. The only thing I have to know is that if you disagree with me and I'm a Republican, you must be a liberal. And if you disagree with a liberal, then you must be a racist or a homophobe. So we have no chance. No one thinks anymore, Terry, and they damn sure don't want you to take time out to try to educate them.
What do we do, Mike?
Well,
I can't stand by and keep being hypocritical. You know, the company that I'm doing construction estimates for, you know, requires that we have a mask with us, and if anybody wants us to wear it going into their homes and or in a store, we're required to do that. And I just feel like such a hypocrite.
Here's the thing, Terry. Let me interject if I could there, because I think you made a valid point. If I come to your home, Terry, for whatever reason, professional or personal, if I come to your home and you tell me that you will not allow me to come into your home without a mask, then if I want to come into your home, I will adhere to your wishes, because that is your private property, and I don't have a right to tell you what the rules are on your private property. So if I'm coming to your house to perform a function, again, whether it be professional or private, and you say, well, I'd like you to wear a mask, I would have to put one on if I want to come in your house. And if it's your business, I would have to say the same thing. I will not go into a business that tells me I have to wear a mask. I will not go into a home where they tell me I have to have a mask. It's a personal choice I've got to make, but I believe that a person on their property has a right to ask a person they believe in their home that is what they want. So, you know, and maybe that sounds contradictory to people. I do not believe it's hypocritical. But, you know,
well,
that's your livelihood.
It sure feels hypocritical, I can tell you that. I agree with you. If I didn't believe that it was the right, courteous thing to do, you know, basically the old golden rule about not who owns the gold rules, but the one about treating other people as you would like to be treated, particularly on their own property. The good news is that only one out of six or seven are requiring it. The vast majority of those that I've been encountering in the last 2 months have not required me to wear a mask. They've not even and a lot of them are awake about it. You know, they some of them want to talk about it. Some of them express their complete disdain for the whole phony pandemic, which is encouraging. That's an encouraging side of it, but boy, when I come across these people, it's like, gosh, they're just, they're ignorant. And it's like you said, they're listening to their God. That's exactly what they're doing. That was a good way of putting it.
Well, Terry, you know, I think we're, you ask, what do we do? You know, I look, I went back and I reread like once a month that Albert J. Nock, the thing he did on Isaiah and the Remnant, about once a month, that helps me get my head straight. And I really liked Albert J. Nock. I, you know, and I know it's a sideline here, but I think he probably wrote the best biography of Thomas Jefferson that's available anywhere. And he wrote that probably almost 100 years ago now. And it was the most objective analysis of a person that we consider to be, you know, an icon in American history, the most objective writing about Jefferson. But anyway, his article about the Isaiah and the and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting scripture here, but you know, God tells Isaiah, you need to go out here. King Uzziah has been causing these terrible things. He's destroying the people. These things are just absolutely incredible, what King Uzziah is doing. So, you know, Isaiah, I need you to go out there and I need you to tell the people that what's happening is wrong. I need you to do that. And Isaiah says, well, yes, Lord, I'll be happy to do that. I'll get right to it. And basically God says, well, I must warn you, Isaiah, they ain't going to listen. And so Isaiah says, well, if they're not going to listen, Lord, then why do I need to be out there doing it? And God says, because I have a remnant that need to hear your words. You may not know who they are. It's not important you know who they are. You may not even, you will never know the ones that you reach, but your job is to do it. And so Isaiah basically says, well, how will I know if I'm doing a good job? And the Lord says, well, if you start making a lot of money and a lot of people show up, you're doing it wrong. So if we want to look at who the remnant are, Terry, that to me, the remnant is my audience. And I'm going to throw it out there just like you throw seed out to try to get something to grow. I'm going to go out there in faith, and I'm going to say what I believe to be the truth to the people, and I'm going to put it out there the best way I know how, and it's not up to me to convert them. If the truth won't convert them, they can't be converted anyway.
Well, Scripture, even in the New Testament, talks about if you point people to the right path and they don't take it, their blood is on their hands. But if you don't show them the right path, then it's on their blood is on your hands. And it's basically.
And I agree with that. I agree with that 1,000%, my friend. And I'm going to keep doing it at whatever venue that I'm provided. I'm going to do it the very best that I can. And, you know, if people don't want to hear it, don't tune in. If you think I'm nuts, go ahead, do whatever you want to. But I'm going to keep doing it as long as the good Lord gives me breath. That's it.
What are you hearing on the forced vaccine situation? Do you still have any of your military contacts? Do you get any stuff, any tidbits from the military at all?
I've got a network of good old buddies, good old boys. We talk about it from time to time about the various things that's coming. It's coming. There's going to be forced vaccines. They're going to make this so bad that your neighbor will be willing to shoot you if you don't want to take a vaccine. The mask will be nothing. If you turn down and I still think this is going to be, you know, we could go into Revelation and talk about a lot of things here, Terry. Think a lot of this, I see this as prophecy, is that, you know, we're going to be told that we can't buy, sell, and trade if we don't have the ID of having had a vaccination. And to say that that this is not going through right now, that we're not having military being trained for this, is an absolute lie, because they are being trained. This is coming down. They've got, it's called Operation Warp Speed.
Right.
Suddenly Fauci's going to jump out somewhere and say, oh my, look at this. We've got, and Bill Gates will jump up and down, probably wet himself. And they're, oh yes, we've got this new vaccine and it's 100% effective. Oh, just wait. Everybody line up. And then they're going to give it to everybody who will take it, and then everybody who don't take it, they're going to come for you, and Warp Speed is going to bring it to your doorstep. They are going to vaccinate everyone. That is going to be their attempt. You might as well get it in your head, because that is the bottom line out there somewhere. They're coming to vaccinate everybody, and you don't have a clue what's in that vaccine, and you never will. Terry, I can remember when I was a kid when we had this polio. Everybody was going ape nuts over that. And I can remember standing in line at the courthouse when I was a kid to get the polio vaccine. People were nuts back then. And that's half a century ago or more. People were nuts back then and running to get this stuff. And we're now finding out that some of the stuff in that polio vaccine was ultra harmful. And maybe some of the stuff we got in that polio vaccine way back when now was a binary type thing that actually led to an increase in cancer. How do we know? How do we know what this one's going to do? Is this one just going to take out all the old and infirm people and take them out of the way because they're users? Study socialist society and socialist mind think. And if you've studied history over that, you know exactly what they're capable of. And it doesn't make any difference if you're talking about left-wing socialism, which is Marxism, or right-wing socialism, which is fascism. It doesn't make any difference. They both lead to the same thing, and it's called mass genocide. It's just a matter of time. It's coming.
Well, and I believe 5G is a part of that process.
Oh, I do too. Indubitably. And that was why I sent you that report on how they're saying that 5G is a part of this whole thing. How do we know that the effects of whatever we take in a vaccine and 5G doesn't have some kind of effect to take out 40% of the population? And how do you stop it?
I was trying to find the file that I, where I kept all of the Gov 2.0. Have you ever heard of Gov 2.0?
Yes, I have.
Well, that gal that produced Red and I show, my show back, grief back around, I guess that was, about 2010, she had been a graphic designer for Apple in the early stages of Apple, and she had started observing some unusual things, and she started collecting evidence, and she became convinced that they were trying to create a program in the cloud, in the computer internet cloud, that would basically be used to control the world. And, of course, that's precisely what they were doing. And it's what they're doing today, and that's one of the things that 5G will facilitate. And it's basically a methodology, all of the data farming that they've done with the internet, Facebook, et cetera, social media, has been a data farm sufficient that they can basically barcode everybody and use this cloud program, which was called Gov 2.0 at the time, in order to process all of that data and provide the barcoded identification of the people, what their habits are, what their inclinations are, what their beliefs are, et cetera, et cetera. So that they could determine whether or not this person would get hired for a job or get credit or you know, be able to conduct any kind of business. And that's basically where it's at. And now they've got the technology in place that can finally identify all the facial recognition, track, you know, whatever RF thing they inject in your body. And if you take these vaccines, not only are you going to be getting aborted fetal tissues and probably a virus and other heavy metals and cancer and genetically modified blood material, you know, all sorts of, you know, mercury, whatever, that they've been putting in these vaccines. Along with that, you get an RFI. And they're going to be able to track you, and all that information is going to come up in that cloud program. And so she gave me all the evidence that she had collected. And I think Anthony Martin, I think is the guy's name that actually published it. He did not do the research. My friend, this gal did, and she actually sent all of the evidence of it to three different people. And then gave Martin permission to publish it. And he published it in about five or six different articles in a series. He called it Obama's Fourth Reich, but really Obama didn't have beans to do with it at all. I think he just did that to get people's attention so they would read it, you know. But so I felt like the title he put on it was a misnomer. But I've got those articles. And did I send them to you before?
I think you did, Terry.
Okay. But it's now comes into play because all of that's exactly where we're headed.
Undoubtedly.
I mean, it is about transhumanism. I mean, Gates has developed, Microsoft has developed a program that they can inject in the human body and literally manage humanity with a software program. AI is a very dangerous concept that they are developing on us. It's a part of this whole thing.
Terry,
and if they can get an RFID chip in you, you know, grief.
Well, you're familiar with DARPA, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, DARPA came out several years ago with a new helmet for our military. And they said that this helmet would take over the brain waves of the soldier and take away their fear and take away their emotions so they can perform their job without that impairment. And where was the outcry? Where did anyone come out with anything to say anything about? Let's back up on that and let's stop and think about that. DARPA is headquarters is where? Oh, let me see now. Virginia Tech. Let's see. Has there been any mass shootings at Virginia Tech? Oh, my. I believe there was. Okay. Well, let's take that just a step farther. Does anyone remember the mass shooting at Fort Hood, Texas? Yeah,
yep.
Well, that happened. Major Hassan goes down there and shoots up a bunch of people and kills a bunch of people. And Major Hassan had just transferred to Fort Hood, Texas from where? Oh, my. DARPA. He had been working on the Warrior Reset mental program for for the people who are suffering from PTSD. He was working on that at Virginia Tech. He goes down to Fort Hood and he shoots up a bunch of people. Well, you've got, and DARPA does what? Mind control? Oh no, couldn't be any connection to that, Terry. We know that didn't happen. And I've got the video of the day that the Fort Hood shooting happened, and the commander of the base or the post at Fort Hood stated several times there were multiple shooters. The next day it disappears. you think if they can manipulate this kind of stuff, you don't think they can manipulate an election? And how many people knows that the day after 9/11, 9/12, George Bush implemented the continuity of government program called COG? How many people in this country knows that COG completely puts the Constitution out of play? Did you know he renewed COG twice with executive orders? Obama renewed it twice with executive orders. We operated through Bush and through Obama without the benefit of the Constitution. Of course, they didn't know it anyway, so what difference does it make? Read up on the continuity of government program. That was practiced under Ronald Reagan. They had two wonderful people named Rumsfeld and Cheney who traveled throughout the country while Reagan was president, going around practicing for the continuity of government program. People couldn't tell you about that, but they could probably tell you who won the World Series that year or who won the NFL Stupid Bowl. They could probably tell you all that, but they couldn't tell you anything about the continuity of government. The continuity of government rule was brought up during the hearing with Oliver North. Let's see, what year was that, 86, 87, when that hearing was taking place? The continuity of government program was brought up, and you would have thought that they were about to have a heart attack. And no, away from Hawaii was, no, we have to, we can't discuss that openly. No, that has to be executive session. Did the media touch it, Terry? Nah, can't do that. You know, we might wake up Bubas out there. Bubas might get off his butt and not worry about who goes fast in a circle with NASCAR with a noose.
I know you're not saying that to be funny. You're saying that to be serious, but it's still funny. I need it a lot.
Sometimes I can't help myself, Terry. Sometimes I can't help myself.
Why don't you tell our listeners, because I don't think everybody understands what Bubas is, okay? So why don't you tell them what you mean by Bubas?
Well, Bubas is a species of Americans who believe everything the government says, and it is the species, if we go by the Latin phrase, it's Bubas Americanus. So it is the people that are so damn dumb they can't think for themselves. Pardon my French.
It's scary how many people qualify for that classification. Oh, Bubas.
Well, Terry, I know it will probably come as a surprise, Terry, but I actually wrote an article about the continuity of government back years ago. As you chat there for a while, I'm going to see if I can find it, see if I can find any particulars on it.
You know who Patrick Woods is?
The name is familiar, but I'm not sure. Jog my memory.
He is the one that started Technocracy News and puts out a newsletter on Technocracy.
Okay. All right.
Pretty good fellow. I mean, there's a few little things that I would take some exception with, but most of what he puts out there is really, really good information. But he gets into the transhumanism and warning everybody about how our rights are being taken away through technocracy. It's really good material. So I would recommend look him up. Look up Technocracy News, take his newsletter, sign up for it. It's free. I don't have enough time to go through all of what he puts out. He puts out a lot of data, and it's mostly really, really good information people can get. I've done some shows on transhumanism in the past, and some of the people that that are really into it or get a little too far out there. Did you find your continuity of government?
Yeah, I did. How much time do we have, buddy?
We could stretch it to about 10 minutes.
Okay, well, it's not going to take me that long. I will read some quotes. As I said, the existence of the plans for a suspension of the Constitution and rule by executive directive appears to have first surfaced publicly during the Iran-Contra hearings, and I quote from those hearings. Congressman Jack Brooks, Colonel North, in your work at the National Security Council, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster? At this time, both North's attorney and Senator Daniel Inouye, the Democratic chair of the committee, responded in a way that showed that they were aware of the issue. Brendan Sullivan, North's counsel, said agitatedly, Mr. Chairman, and Inouye then says, I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir? Brooks says, I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in the Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of an emergency that would suspend the American Constitution, and I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was an area in which he had worked. I believe that it was, and I wanted to get his confirmation. Inouye, may I most respectfully request that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session. So here we are. And near the end of Reagan's term in 1988, he would redefine the plan to include events other than a nuclear attack. Executive Order 12656. Continuity of government now could be implemented with anything a member of the political power structure deemed a national emergency. Of course, what constitutes a national emergency is left to the discretion of those who would profit from such a determination. One cannot help but be reminded of Alexander Hamilton's explanation to Thomas Jefferson as to what necessary and proper means to a politician. Is there any wonder what Jefferson would write? Is there any wonder Jefferson would write that, and I quote, Hamilton was not only a monarchist, but for a monarchy bottomed on corruption? Ooh, get him, Thomas. Anyway, necessary often means no more than needful, requisite, incidental, useful, or conducive to Alexander Hamilton. Okay, Cheney was the chair of the committee to select a vice presidential candidate to fill out the ticket of George W. Bush, and he decided that the most qualified candidate for that office was himself. And his longtime political partner, Rumsfeld, was installed immediately as Secretary of Defense. Then, of course, along came 9/11. In the interest of full disclosure, let me here state the only thing I am sure of concerning the events of 9/11 is that our government is lying about the whole entire event. But it is beyond argument that 9/11 did occur. It is also beyond debate that within hours of those events, Dick Cheney, not President Bush, enacted a continuity of government plan which suspended the Constitution. Please note that one of the originators of an act which suspended the constitutional governances in this country implemented that plan to suspend the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights, an unconstitutional act on its face. So, most civilians in this country had no idea such a plan had been implemented that created a secret shadow government unencumbered by rules, regulations, and inspection by Congress or the public. The first inkling appeared in an article in the Washington Post in March of 2002 titled, Shadow Government is at Work in Secret. They put it in the paper, people. It became readily apparent neither the Senate nor the House of Representatives were aware of this shadow government and certainly had not been consulted on its implementation. Could the Patriot Act, same as the Patriot Act, a tyrannical, unconstitutional piece of legislation was created by this secret government. One thing for sure is two of the strongest dissenters to this proposal were Tom Daschle, Senate Majority Leader, and Patrick Leahy, head of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Does anyone believe it's a coincidence that these two opponents to the Patriot Act received letters containing spores of deadly anthrax? Is it coincidence that shortly after both dropped their opposition to the Patriot Act? President George W. Bush continued the shadow government on May the 9th, 2007 with a national security presidential with National Security Presidential Directive 51 and Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20. Only the unclassified portions of these directives were published. When Congressman Peter DeFazio of the Homeland Security Commission asked to see the classified portions of this presidential and Homeland Security Directive, his request was denied. Congress could not even see it, people. We also know that Obama continued the continuity of government plans as established during the Bush administration on July the 27th, 2009, stating his administration draws, and I quote, no distance between their own policies and those left behind by the Bush administration. So there's part of my article, Terry, and I document it with the actual numbers of the executive orders and the directives.
How would you update that today? The question is Trump participated?
I did, when I was writing the article or writing an addendum to the article, I went back and checked, and I could not find in any place where Trump had renewed it, whether by executive order or by Homeland Security order. So in full disclosure, I can't find where Trump has continued it, but I cannot find where he ended it either.
All right, one last question before we sign off here.
Whoop it on.
Do you have any indication that gives you an inkling that Trump is going to do the right thing?
What's the right thing, Terry? I think that's a subjective thought, but here's the thing. We had a president in 1963 tried to do the right thing. We know where that got him. He decided to go to Dallas against everybody's advice. So I think the deep state at that time became the true ruler of this country, and I think they've done whatever they needed to do since then. So I don't think if the right thing, I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure. I don't think Trump would recognize the Constitution if he found it floating in his breakfast cereal. And that goes for the others, too. I'm not picking on him. But to tell you the truth, I don't think he knows what the right thing is. And if he did anything that was going to upset the people who have this master plan going, he would have an unfortunate accident, Terry. That's the best I can say.
Well, the only thing that could stop that in my mind is some kind of divine intervention. And it's been
Amen.
Reported that they've tried to take him out, you know, over a dozen times. Do you believe
yeah,
that?
I don't know. I don't know about that, because they could take him out. It would be very, very simple anymore. It would be, you know, and how would we know the difference? I mean, you know, we've been told so many lies about stuff, the American people would just eat it up. I believe the deep state will use Trump as long as they can for their purpose.
I know we opened this with a prayer, Mike, but I sure would appreciate it if you would give us a short one to close us out.
You got it, brother. Dear Lord, we want to take the time to thank you for allowing us these minutes to speak with the people who listen, all of the gifts that you have bestowed upon us. And we ask very fervently, dear Lord, that you stand by those in this country who see the truth for what it is. We actually ask you stand by everybody to aid everyone, but especially those who have the discernment, who have the faith to see the truth and to accept the truth. And We ask that you be with all of our friends and all of our family and to protect them as we go into this holiday weekend, and to be with those who love you, Lord. Be with those. Help us all. Give us all the wisdom that we deserve, that we need, to see the truth as we go about it in America. And dear Lord, I want to thank you for Terry. Thank you for my friends and other venues as well, but thank you especially tonight for Terry and the work that he does. And be with he and his family this weekend as well. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, to our listeners, we're glad we could expand your vocabulary tonight with a new word, boobus. And we challenge you to use that with some friend or family during the next week and give them the meaning of that. That may be one way to help wake somebody up. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you a lot, brother. Thanks for that prayer.
Thank you, Terry. You got it.
We'll be back next week with Handling the Truth on Thursday night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Shoe-fitting fire starting. Ought to tell you no good premonitory bone frame and nail it to your government walls. All of you, you dadgum government, you sorry rat with ratchet. You got yourself an itch and you're wanting me to scratch it. Well, you dadgum, dadgum. Shoe-fitting fire starting. Ought to tell you no good premonitory bone frame and nail it to your government walls. All of you, you dadgum government, you sorry so-and-sos. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes.